Well, a God morning to you. Happy Resurrection Day. Before we get started in the message today, I want to express my gratitude for the help that God, through man, provided to this ministry during this last week. Some of you may be aware, others may not, but our website was totally lost. Through some means, I believe, demonic means, but through the prayers and the help of the people of the God School, that is, by that which you provided, we were able, with payment, to not only get the website repaired and back up, but to be back up fully operational. That is, even the comment section, for those of you who have been listening the last few weeks, even the comment section is back up. I'm grateful to God for this. The website is the vehicle, the only vehicle through which this ministry is operating. And if it wasn't back up, I'd be talking to myself and to God alone, but in His kindness, He is letting me again share His word with you. Now, this is what the world and the church calls Easter week. Any of you who watch television, I'm sure, have seen the advertisements, have been bombarded with all sorts of depictions of man's interpretation of Jesus Christ and of God. So last week I watched a fascinating story, and this is not the message, but last week I watched a fascinating story about new procedures in cancer treatment. Back when my friend Giuliani was fighting pancreatic cancer, I did some research, and I'm not a great researcher, but I did some research wherein some treatments or some tumors were being treated by injecting viruses into them. Never found great results. But I watched a story this last week where at Duke University, they were treating myoblastoma, which is the most aggressive form of cancer in the brain, generally, ones who get this cancer are dead within a matter of less than a few months. So they went to explain the treatment, which was to take a form of the polio virus and inject it right into the tumor. And I found the explanation for its working to be fascinating. Cancer enters the body, and I'm not giving you medical explanation, I'm giving you my amateur explanation. But cancer enters the body, and as it enters, it has a shield. And the shield on this cancer kind of makes it invisible to our antibodies. And the antibodies are things that are in us that protect us from viruses. And as they went on to explain how this works, by injecting this form of the polio virus into the tumor, all of a sudden, what happens is our own antibodies wake up and detect a virus, and not the polio virus being the cure, but our awakened antibodies, that which is in us. They're awakened, and they fight the virus, and in so doing, attack the not only the shield, but the cancer itself. When, after listening or during the presentation, I was moved in my spirit. Not at what man had discovered, but in what God has made. And in the analogy that sometimes things enter in where we're unaware. And it takes an outside source to awaken us, not only to awaken us, but make us whole again. And I feel that these depictions that man make of Christ are like, are subtle, like cancer. I watch Fox News. I watch The O'Reilly Factor. He's been made famous by his killing books, killing of Kennedy, killing of Patton, his most recent killing of Jesus. They made a movie of it. He's not a preacher. I don't consider him a source for my information about God, but it appears many in the world do, because, you know, they made his book a New York Times number one bestseller. And as a result, they made a movie. With great caution. I mean, I wasn't excited about seeing it, because I've heard the man talk and I've heard some of his words regarding God and his relationship with us. But I succumb to the temptation and I turn the movie on. And the scene that I happened to come across was Jesus with his disciples, and Jesus is asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? And they got the first parts right. You know, some said a prophet, others said John the Baptist resurrected. And he looked at Peter and he said, who say you that I am? And Peter said, thou art. Now the movie said the anointed. King James uses the word Christ. English translation for anointed. The Son of God. And the movie had Jesus response being, I think my Father in heaven gave this to you. There is the subtlety of man. For that's not what we have recorded, preserved, presented in God's Word. And I wasn't going here, but, you know, being critical of man's interpretation, I want to give you God's Word, if I can find it. Man, and I, you know, I off the tip of my tongue, I don't have the scripture, but it's found in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I'll quote from the scripture, not from man's subtle shielded how do I say this? Deadly, cancerous injection of man's thought. The 16th verse says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. There is no thinking. God in Christ was speaking, not as a man, but as the Son of God. Folks, this is why it's so important to stay and become familiar with the scriptures. Because not being can allow these subtle imaginations of men which enter in and cause traditions of men to become more important or to put it the way Jesus said it, to make void the Word of God. Subtle little things. So this week I've been spending quite a bit of time in 2 Corinthians. We've taught here before out of this subject. Today, it's not going to be verse by verse, but let's just get into it. Sixth verse of 2 Corinthians 4 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You want to know what God's glory looks like? Look at Jesus. Hebrews 1:4 says, might be 1:3, but again, we'll go to it. 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of Jesus Christ, the express image of his person, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Cracked pots, one translation has it. And I like it because, by the Spirit of God, he certainly lets me know what a cracked pot I am. But also at the same time, by the Spirit of God, he brings me to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ by his word. And he does the same in each. Every one of his children. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He goes on to describe life situations. Situations which Christians find themselves in. He says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." How do Paul's words measure up to those who in this world are preaching God has a great plan for your life, and if you're not realizing it, there's something wrong with you. Up theirs. 10th verse says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That could be a verse for the communion table. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. When we awaken, when by the word of God we awaken to the truth and can fight off those things that the devil might intrude into us. And weaken our faith. Thirteenth verse says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. You know what he's quoting? He's quoting the 116th Psalm. Now, you know, God bless Paul, and I give no criticism whatsoever, because, you know, he's a busy missionary and couldn't have time to write everything down. But to fully quote that verse, Psalm 116, verse 10, it says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. What did we say last week? Yea. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, that is, be aware of God's presence in Christ, in us, will suffer persecution. Folks, it's not an easy road God called us to, but it is one that can be traversed. It is one whose path is made plain as we move toward the eternal purpose of God for us in Christ Jesus. 14th verse says, knowing that he, that is God, which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Picture that Greek word shows us Christ standing alongside with us. And we are presented in Christ. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. Oh, if I have any words for you, that as you are growing in the knowledge of of the grace of God, that you be always thankful. Might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This word, translated renewed in the King James in the 17th verse, the Greek word is anakenu. It's a cognate. It's made up of two words. Ana means up, completing a process. I'm reminded of that message of God to Jeremiah in the potter's house, which we presented just a few weeks ago. And man, oh man, was God timely in that message. Deuteronomy 33 says, "The eternal God shall be thy refuge." And we've translated that by saying, God's on the corner before we get there. He knows what's coming. And these last few weeks have been, for me, folks, to say the least, very challenging, and yet, at the same time, invigorating. For the Word implanted in me as it is implanted in you by the grace of God All I can do is give witness that God is, folks, on the corner before we get there. This is Resurrection Sunday. And our faith tells us that God, which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus. We continue on defining this word. Ana means up, completing a process. Kenu means to renew by moving from one stage to a higher, that is, more developed one. Ana Kenu. Interesting little side note. Anakenu in the Greek, it's not found in any papyruses outside the New Testament. It's not found in any secular writings. It's a word that had to be created, if you will, or given energy, given, it had to be a new word to describe, in an attempt to describe what God is doing. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward, that which God has put in us, his own spirit, this in response to faith, a gift he gave to those he has chosen. It is moving up. It is completing a process. It is moving from one stage to a higher, more developed one. Renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, look at what affliction does. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's a description of the life of faith. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm just going through this. Was originally motivated to spend time in this part of God's Word from the fourth chapter, the 14th verse, speaking of the resurrection, which claims Jesus did not raise himself up, but God raised up the Lord Jesus, and he shall raise up us also by Jesus. How does this light affliction work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? Paul answers in the fifth chapter. He never wrote chapter and verse. He says, "For because we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Yes, like you, I groan. Paul says, for in this we groan. We have this news of God, this gospel, that God is doing something. And in this process, he says, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. The 15th verse of the 5th chapter says, let's go to the 14th first of all. For the love of God constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Resurrection, foundational to Christianity, to what Christianity really is. we were all dead. Ephesians says, who were dead in trespasses and sins, whom God has quickened. Jesus Christ died. Dead. Buried. But raised by the power of God. And the promise is that same Spirit which raised him from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. Back to 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, which died for you, which died for me, and rose again. Continues on. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. This flesh is, I've said this often, is not going to have the last word. Don't be judging anybody else by what you see in the flesh, because it's not going to have the last word. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know no more, we don't see Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us, Paul starts it, I learned it from one who learned it from Paul, I now receive it, who has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Let me show you, let me tell you, let me put on display is what this these words in the 19th verse, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Isaiah 43:25 says of God, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember your sins. God said that all the way back in Isaiah, probably about 750 years before the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now he gives substance and tells us the process by which he did it. Which is this that is declared in the 21st verse of this 5th chapter. Let's not skip ahead. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's place, that is, standing in the place of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Let me give you the full, taking away the pronouns. The full exegete of this 21st verse, wherein it declares, for God has made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ was not a man, as so many of the world who depict Christ as a man only and use words or put words in the mouth of Christ like I think. Word of God is sure. There's no ambiguity in it. Satan and his minions and those whom he would use to chip away at our faith put ambiguity in it. That's the first thing he did. Questioned. Oh, did God really say? All the way back in the garden. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise God. Above all that we could think or ask. That we might be made the righteousness of God. This little side note I'd have you know. This word, this second time this word made is used in this 21st verse where it says that we might be made. In the Greek, it's in the middle voice. And the being made is something that God is doing. And he's doing it for his own self. For his own sake. I, Isaiah says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. That we might be for God's own sake, made the righteousness of God in Christ. I'll leave you with this thought this morning. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So, the Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits were the beginning of the spiritual new year. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is a new beginning. Let us, this resurrection day, with understanding, be on a canoe up. Understand, God is completing a process in us, that He is moving us from one stage to a higher, a more developed one. And He is doing this for those who trust Him, for those who are grabbing hold of His promises, for those whom He has gifted with His Spirit, who put more confidence in the Word of God. Then in the traditions of man. Christ is raised, and our hope is the same as His hope was. That as God promised to raise up Jesus, He has also promised to men and women of faith that He will raise up us also in Christ, to His glory. Amen.